Clyde Pilkington is so desperate for you to not be looking for Jesus Christ. He is so desperate for you to imagine that the coming of our Lord and Savior is so far in the distant future. So desperate for that, and I don't know why, I really don't, that he will take a clear statement in 1 Corinthians 7, that the era is limited. And he will say, well, that was a past era. The era is no longer limited. It's now limitless. So it's either that he desperately doesn't want you to look for Christ, wants you to get entrenched here, wants you to focus on the family, as James Dobson would say, or he is making like a backhanded, backdoor argument that the Acts 28:28 theory is true, that the grace of God did not really start until late in Paul's life, Acts 28:28, in which case we could relegate early letters of Paul to the ash heap of history. Basically, they don't apply to us, and thus a early letter like 1 Corinthians 7 doesn't apply to us, therefore the era is limitless. Is it because he wants everybody to get into marriage and family life? Or is it because he doesn't want anyone to think that Jesus, the coming of Christ is near because he thinks it's dreaming your life away? It's really hard to figure it out, except that it's out there and people are paying attention to it. And of course, it's a serious error, and I feel compelled to correct it. I am moving through this. Many of you may be getting tired of it. You're talking about this too much. I'm going to continue what I start for the sake of consistency, for the sake of more information coming through. You're never going to forget this when I'm done. I will leave no stone unturned and no turn unstoned. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, 29, this I am averring, brethren, saying strongly, to aver is to say something extremely strongly. The era is limited. And then Paul gives this piece of evidence as to why it's limited. Verse 31, for the fashion of this world is passing by. That is, the things this world thinks are important. The literal fashion, the way people wear clothes, the way people do things in this world, the fashion of this world, what people think is cool. Paul says that those things, the things the world does and wants you to do, things that will make you feel all that, like, I belong here. Yeah, the fashion of this world, Paul says, is passing by. He gives this as evidence that the era is limited. Now, if our friend Clyde Pilkington is correct that the era is limitless, therefore, the fashion of the world is no longer passing by. It's no longer going by the wayside. And it's in the same letter, 1 Corinthians, Paul said, the chiefs of this era are being discarded. That is, they're gradually going out. This is a gradual thing, being discarded. And I claim to you, it started when Paul's ministry started. It was announced that this was happening, and now it's continually going this way. Now, if the era is not limited, therefore, the fashion of this world is not passing by, therefore, we as members of the body of Christ ought to be diving into the world's fashion. Not only the clothing that people wear on magazines, on the cover of magazines such as GQ, Gentleman's Quarterly, or Vogue, or Vanity Fair. Those people are crazy in those magazines. You ever look at the models there? They're rocking the fashion of the world attitude. They all look very sober and upset and haughty. They're very haughty, and they wear ridiculous clothes, and they're in this little bubble of self, and it's so transparent, and yet the world is being sold this as a great attainment. Only money can buy the kind of clothes you need to be cool, to be in accord with the fashion of this world. Oh, but according to some people, the fashion of this world is not passing by anymore. It's here to stay for an interminable period of time. The fashion of this world is limitless. It's limitless. You can do it all. Just dive in head first. Have 10 kids. Buy a station wagon. Buy the Gentleman's Quarterly. Buy GQ Magazine. Get yourself set up because it's limitless. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. But my friends, it is going somewhere very soon. It's going by the wayside. It has been going by the wayside. The chiefs of this eon have been being discarded for a long time now, and Paul's ministry wraps up the era. This is the last administration. Here it is. This is the last administration God inaugurates until the judgments begin on this earth. So of course it would be wrapping up at the beginning of Paul's administration. And then Paul says in verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 7, "Now I want you to be without worry." That's why he's telling people that he really doesn't want them to get married if they can help it. I don't want you to be entangled with a wife. Now, if you want to get married, if you can't handle it, if you love that, you want to have sex with one person all the time, you know, get married, have kids, it's great. Nothing, there's no sin, Paul says, do it. But if you can be like me, I would prefer that. Why? He gives the reason. I want you to be without worry. So that was his reason in 1 Corinthians 7. Old letter, old administration, old era. No, the same era. Otherwise, Paul would be have to saying today, I want you to be with worry. Okay, the fashion of this world is no longer passing by. It's here to stay for an interminable amount of time. And so I want you to be as worried as you can possibly be. That's what we'd have to say if this was an old thing. If Paul doesn't mean this anymore, because he matured, he advanced, and in his maturity, he now says that he wants you to be with worry, and he wants you to enmesh yourself with the fashion of this world, which is no longer passing by? What? Oh, God, no. I got to warn you against it. This is dangerous teaching. It will turn you into a scoffer. The scoffer of 2 Peter, who says, where is the presence of his coming? Ever since the fathers have been put to repose, everything has been continuing thus from the beginning of creation. Peter says, you are unaware that there have been several major cataclysms on this earth, and another one is coming. That's my message to you. Clyde's message will make you become comfortable here. Clyde's message will drive you into the fashion of the world, whether it's the fashion of the family or the fashion of the fashion. And it will cause you to think as you read these things and start thinking the opposite. The era is limited, Paul says. No, it's limitless. Those having wives maybe is not having them. Those lamenting is not lamenting. No, now those lamenting ought to be lamenting big time. That's what you have to do now that the era is limitless. The opposite of everything Paul says. Paul wants those to be rejoicing as not rejoicing. In other words, he doesn't want you to go flying off with the world in their happiness and be dragged down with the world in their misery. He wants you to be even. Oh, but not anymore. No, Paul would now want you to be in this mature era. He would want you to mourn like hell, mourn like crazy people. He wants you to be excited like the rest of the world. Just jump into it. And Paul says, I want you to use the world, but don't use it up. Well, that advice is thrown out because we're in a mature era. Isn't that strange that a mature spiritual era, an era where the physical things get dim and the spiritual things rise, isn't it strange to think that this mature era that we're supposedly in would be a reinstatement of the fashion of the world? Don't you think it's strange that a height of spirituality would include a swan dive into earthly ties and responsibilities? Folks, it is just the freaking opposite. The opposite of this teaching. The strange teaching of Clyde Pilkington. My friend, Clyde Pilkington. The air is limited. The fashion of the world is passing by. We are not to be as those of the world who celebrate like crazy people and mourn like rodeo clowns. Do they mourn? They look like they mourn. Okay. We're to be without worry if we can manage it at all. The world no longer needs to be populated with a bunch more kids. If you want to have kids, pop them out. Go ahead, do it. But I would advise you with Paul, if you're a young man, if you're single, if you think, if you're debating whether, I mean, I think I could live a happy single life, do it. Do it. Live a happy single life. Because if you get married, you'll have problems in the world. You'll have entanglements, which is, they're holy entanglements. Yes, it's honorable, honorable, honorable. But somehow that's changed now. In this day, if you get married, you won't have extra troubles. What? Of course you're going to have extra troubles. I've said this. Some people might say, you're just repeating yourself, Martin. I need to do this. I'm pressed to do it, so just settle in and listen. I'm going to say new things on every show. I'm going to give you slightly different angles. So we're going to go on with this. Now, I told you before that grace, Clyde Pilkington says that grace just came to be in the forefront in Acts 28:28, when Paul is in Rome and he's repeating the Isaiah prophecy for the third time. Now Paul, as an old man, can finally teach his ministry, and now grace is finally going to come on the table. I gave you one verse, a couple verses. Now I'm going to give you a plethora of verses showing you that the grace of God was manifest early in Paul's ministry. In fact, on day one, when the lunatic sinner Saul was lavished with all grace, at which time Christ exercised all his patience on him, 1 Timothy. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:14, early letter, oops, because of the transcendent grace of God on you. The transcendent grace of God, over and above grace of God, was on the Corinthians. Uh-oh, that's an early letter. Romans 5:20, early letter, quote, yet law came in by the way that the offense should be increasing, yet where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Romans 12:6, same early letter, now having grace excelling in accord with the grace which is given to us. So the grace excelling, the excelling grace was being given to the Romans way back when in Paul's early ministry. The grace of God did not wait, because the sin of humanity did not wait. It was on display big time in Saul as he's heading to Damascus to kill Christians, the numero uno enemy of Jesus Christ. Romans 7:25, a wretched man am I. Not me, that's not me. I'm a great man. This is Paul talking. A wretched man am I. Who will rescue me out of this body of death? What will rescue me? Sorry. The answer is grace. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Ooh, that's a really early letter. Paul says, so that you are not deficient in any grace, awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Poor Paul. The early, immature, Israel-oriented Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:7, see, this is new, this is new, shh, this is new, tells them to be awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nope, that's all changed. And now we're not to be awaiting. Can you imagine Paul telling you that today? Do not be awaiting your waste. Can you imagine Paul saying what Clyde's saying? Paul comes back. No, I do not want you to await the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, the snatching away of the body of Christ, the secret given to me that our body shall be changed, that secret, no. It's no good anymore. And I prescribe for you now to all, I want you all to become distracted. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 7, he says that he wants everyone, if they can, to be undistracted for the Lord. And he says, if you get married, you care about the things your wife cares about, as you should. You women care about the things your husband cares about, as you should, if you get married. Paul says, that's fine. You don't sin. You don't sin if you do that. However, I really wish everybody could be like me, to be undistracted for the Lord. No, the new Paul would come down. The mature Paul would come down here and say, I want everyone, if possible, to be distracted for the Lord. I want everyone. I recommend you to be distracted for the Lord. Someone hands Paul a issue of Gentleman's Quarterly Magazine, or better yet, Vanity Fair. Paul looks at the cover model and says, wow, that's a good-looking woman there. Yeah, Paul, we got a lot of them. Paul says, yeah, we had them on our day too. Paul says, what is this? Paul, this is the fashion of the world. Paul says, you mean the system? Yeah, the world, the cosmos. You used the word a cosmos. This is what the world cares about. And then we hand Paul a issue of Car and Driver magazine. Paul looks at these cars. What the hell is this? It's a car. What does it do? Oh, it zooms here and there with, and look at the good-looking people in the car. Paul, this is all the fashion of the world. This is what the world cares about. This is the thing, man. You gotta get with the program. According to Car and Driver, Vanity Fair, People Magazine, Gentleman's Quarterly, Oprah. Oprah has a magazine. Show Paul this. Paul, look, Oprah magazine. Look at the things Oprah cares about. Oh, look at all the recipes in here. It's the fashion of the world. People love cooking shows, Paul. Everybody's got a cooking show, and people love to spend copious, gorgeous amounts of time putting ingredients together, making dishes, and some people make their living around food, Paul. This is the fashion of the world. The fashion of the world, Paul. Look at Better Homes and Gardens magazine, Paul. Paul, this is the fashion of the world. And the thing now is to have beautiful gardens in your backyard and your homes. Oh, God, Paul, don't get us started on that. You have to have a better house than your neighbor's house. You have to have a picket fence surrounding it. And you know what? If your blinds aren't working for you, the shutters like mine aren't working for me here, you need to, there are companies, Paul, many, many companies, they focus on curtains and drapes. My God, Paul, don't you know that? And Paul, look, everybody needs to get married. And Paul, there's an industry that has been created around people getting married. Paul's like, huh? It's like Scooby-Doo, huh? Industry around people getting married? Oh, yeah, there's a Brides magazine. There's people make billions, thousands. What the hell am I talking about? Thousands of dollars. I'm like Dr. Evil. I want $1 million. No, billions in the wedding industry. And look, it's all about the gown, Paul. It's all about the reception. It's all about the shoes. Oh, Paul, you can't believe the obsession we have down here with shoes. After all this, Paul would be like, what the hell are you trying to do to me? Paul, this is the fashion of the world. It's being said in some of our circles that this is no longer passing by, that it's limitless. It could go on for another 10,000 years, and that now we can and should legitimately engage in the fashion of the world because the era is no longer limited. The fashion of the world is no longer passing by, and that you, Paul, would have people to be distracted today. That would be your goal in the mature body of Christ. It would be your goal to have mourners ultra upset, to have rejoicers ultra rejoicing, and to use up everything that the world has to offer. And Paul would say, you have effing beep beep got to be kidding me. Paul would say, no, no, what are you people believing? And Paul, of course, would engage us with the heavens, with the impending return of Christ, which is near and dear. If it's not near in time, it should be near and dear in our hearts and our minds, and we should be awaiting it constantly. Don't you think that Paul awaited it? Don't you think that he looked for it? Even though as he's approaching the prison in Rome where he will die, in his heart, he's awaiting, as he says in 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Awaiting the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, in Colossians, a mature letter, Paul says that our affections are not here, not on the fashions of this world, but our affections are placed above, where Jesus Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. One more verse for you here, in an early letter, Galatians 2:21, I am not repudiating the grace of God, for if righteousness is through law, consequently Christ died gratuitously. Not repudiating the grace of God. Some would have us repudiating the full grace of God in Paul's early letters. Yet here in Galatians, one of the earliest letters Paul wrote, he proclaims quite plainly, I am not repudiating the grace of God. And as we saw in other references I gave you just minutes ago, this grace being referred to here is transcendent. In closing for today, folks, if you feel pulled to this world and its traditions and its institutions and its fashions and its cars and its shoes and its gardens and its houses, then that is what you must do. I hope that somewhere in you, Christ is manifest and there is some corner of you that is looking for the return of the Savior. Maybe not. But whether you're watching or drowsing, and I dare say that if you're enmeshed in the fashion of the world, if you think it's not passing by, if you think it's here in a limitless way, then you're drowsing. You're drowsing. Okay, that's your call. Okay, you know, you're still saved. You're in the body of Christ. Great. Primo. However, to others of you who feel like the earth and its attractions, its carnival attractions, its flashy magazines, its bombastic television shows, its loud, violent movies, even its traditions, if the appeal to you of this earth is waning, I say this to you, you are approaching the pinnacle of spiritual apprehension in this life, because the era is limited, the fashion of the world is passing by. And those who would want to be undistracted for the Lord, they're not any better people than the other people who want to be distracted, who voluntarily enter into institutions that will distract them. They're not any better. Nobody's sinning any more or less. It's a disposition given to you by God. Paul wants the disposition to be toward things above. That would be his ideal. That would be his ideal. This is what would be great for you to shoot for. If you can't, that's good. You don't sin. Great. Okay. Have your picnic. But if you want to follow me in looking above, then I invite you to do that. I'm Martin Zenner, and I invite you to do that today.